We asked the question, can I trust God? Last week, we pondered another question, am I trustworthy? Can God trust me with the resources that he's given to me? And today, as we continue on in our sermon series on stewardship, it's a matter of trust. We're going to begin talking about what I call the trust test. Now, this is going to be a two-part sermon. I'll share half of it today. I'll do the other half next Sunday. And as we examine the trust test, we're going to talk about what it means to trust God and what that trust looks like when we put it into action. And I want to start out today with a story that is a pretty cool analogy, I think, on trusting God in our life experiences. And the story starts out like this. He says that when I first got into a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, I kind of saw God as my observer, my judge. God would keep track of the things that I did wrong so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. God was kind of out there like the president. I kind of recognized his picture when I saw it, but I didn't really know who he is. And later on, when I met Jesus Christ and got into a relationship with Jesus, it seemed as though life was like a bicycle ride, a tandem bicycle ride. Jesus is on the back of the bike helping me pedal, and I don't know when it was that Jesus suggested that we change places and I let him drive, but when we did, life had never was the same. When I had control, I knew the way, and it was always kind of boring, but it was predictable and safe to where I went, and I usually would always go the shortest distance between two points. But when Jesus took the lead, Jesus knew a lot of long cuts that were really a lot of fun, up mountains, through rocky places. And Jesus would always go at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on. And even though it looked dangerous or sometimes it looked like madness, Jesus would just look at me and say, pedal! And I was worried and anxious, and I would ask Jesus, where are you taking me? And he would just laugh, and he would never answer. And that was when I learned I was just going to have to trust him. I forgot my boring life and entered into every adventure. When I'd say, I'm scared, Jesus would just lean back and touch my hand. Jesus took me to people with gifts that I needed. Gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. Jesus gave me gifts to take on my journey, and off we would go again. And Jesus would always say when he gave me the gifts, give them away, give the gifts away. They're extra baggage, too much weight. So we would give them away to the people that we met. And I found that in giving, I received. The journey continued and our burden was always light. I didn't trust Jesus at first to take control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it. But Jesus knows lots of secrets about bicycling. Jesus knows how to make the sharp corners and how to jump off high rocks and to do things that I would have never have done if I was in control driving the bicycle. I'm learning to just basically shut up and pedal. Pedal in the strangest places. I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face. Jesus truly is a delightful companion. He's never predictable, but he's always there, and Jesus is always faithful. And on those days when I'm not sure that I can pedal anymore, Jesus just smiles and looks over his shoulder at me and says, just pedal. John and Sherry, they've lived this. And I got to tell you, I prepped this sermon almost 2 weeks ago before I got your call knowing you were going to be here today. So coincidence? I don't think so. I think everybody comes to a place in life where we have to ask the question, can I really trust God? Can I really trust God with my life? Can I trust him with my future, with my family, my job, my health? Can I trust God with my possessions? And every one of us will come to a place in life where we have to make a decision about trusting God. And the decision is either yes, I trust him, or no, I don't trust God. And making this decision to trust God and to follow through with it, this is what we call the trust test. The trust test, if we say, yes, I'm going to trust God, means that we're going to grow spiritually. And if we say, no, I don't really want to give God control, we don't want to trust him, we will begin to shrivel in our soul and we may never reach our potential as a child of God. And that happens because we're unwilling to let God take control of our life. We're unwilling to trust God. One of the things I want to do in the sermon today is to try to give us some ways that you and I can learn to trust God a little more completely, ways that we can maybe pass the trust test. Now, we have an acrostic that we're going to study, kind of give us a jumping off point for talking about trusting God in our everyday lives. First off, we have the T, which trusting God in our lives, the T number is take an inventory. We need to be asking ourselves the bottom line question, do I really trust God? Am I trusting God in everything, or am I just trusting him in some stuff and keeping control of other things? Next, we have the R, and trusting God looks like this. R is recognize God as your source. As we take that inventory in our life and we look at everything we have in our life, we recognize that everything that we have right now really is a gift from God. God is the source of everything that we have in this existence. Next, we have the U. Trusting God is understand God's principles. God has His way of doing things. God has His plan. And most of the time, God's ways really don't always seem to be our ways. And until we take the time to really understand God's ways and to understand and to learn His principles, we're always going to hold back in our trust toward God. We've really got to follow God's plan, not our plan. Next, we have the letter S. Trusting God means surrender. Surrender everything to God. The moment that we understand the principles that God has for us, then it's just basically an act of surrender. And then the final letter is T, which is T is test God's promises. We want to look at God's word. We want to test His promises because it's in that testing of God's promises that God really proves to be trustworthy. And when you see all of the results of those promises that have been tested, and we see that the testing is good, then all of a sudden our faith starts to build. Now, at this point in the sermon, I want to go back and I want to tear apart these 5 points of trust. I want to examine each one of these letters a little more thoroughly. And today, because of time constraints, we're only going to examine the first 3 letters, because when we get to U, that's going to take a while. We're going to have some stuff we're going to add on to U. And then we'll finish everything up next week. So first, number one, we had T, which was take an inventory. I want to read Psalm 139, 23, and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Now, in this psalm, there are 3 points to take note of that really deal with taking an inventory, okay? First off, number one, only God knows everything about us. Only God knows everything about us. In these 2 verses, the psalmist is basically saying, you know what, I don't even know what's going on deep inside of me. I don't know what I'm thinking half the time. God, look deep in my heart. The psalmist is asking God to help him take the inventory because God is the only one that knows everything about us. God really knows us better than we know ourselves. The second observation about the inventory, number 2, is that only God can lead me correctly. Only God can lead me correctly. The psalmist recognized that we have a tendency to want to follow things in this life that a lot of times just aren't of God. And when we take that self-inventory, we realize that, you know what, only God can get me where I need to be going. And then the final observation about the inventory, number 3, is that taking inventory and trusting God begins with me. Taking inventory and trusting God begins with me. This whole issue begins with me. I have to be willing to look at myself and ask myself, you know, how am I doing in the area of trusting God? All of it starts with a personal inventory. And I need to take responsibility for doing my part. Am I really willing to look at my own life? Am I really willing to really assess what's going on and make changes where they need to be made? And when we do this, when we take the inventory, what happens? Well, I do my part, God's going to do his part. Those changes begin to happen. And this brings us then to our next letter, number two, which is R. Recognize God as your source. Recognize God as your source. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." We need to come to the place where we start to recognize that God is the source, God as the source of our life, if you will. Recognize that everything that we have, and I mean everything that we have, comes from God. And in recognizing and accepting these truths, we realize that God is the perfect provider because God knows everything. We realize there's nothing hidden from God. We realize that God is sovereign. Another passage that talks about God being the source of everything is Colossians 1:15 through 20. I'm not going to read that, but for you guys that are taking notes, you can write down Colossians 1:15 through 20. It's just a good Bible passage to have for another reference. When I was prepping for today, I took some time to look through my Bible, and I realized that there's so many places in Scripture that says that without God, it's just impossible to do anything. It's impossible because God is the source of everything. Matthew 5:36 says that we cannot change our hair or add hair to our head without God being the source. I look into this reality every day. I know some of you are farther ahead in the process than I am. James 4:14 reminds us that we can't even say with certainty that there's going to be a tomorrow or what's going to happen tomorrow because God is the source of it all. Acts 27:20 tells us that we cannot save ourselves from disaster without God being the source of something in that process. God is behind everything in our lives. There's a story in the news recently about a guy named Larry Hoffman. Larry went to the Goodwill, and he was in Wisconsin. He was looking for a bargain, and he found one. Picked out the shirt, didn't try it on, because he's like, you know, it's only $4, so who cares if I'm out any money. Paid his $4, took the shirt home, and he tries the shirt on, and Larry discovered that the shirt was a tad too small. But Larry also found something else in the shirt. Stuffed inside a pocket was a wad of cash, $2,000 in cash. And Larry immediately contacted the Goodwill store to see if they could find out who donated the shirt. And when they couldn't, Larry turned all $2,000 over to the police, saying if there is just 0.1% chance that somebody's going to claim it, if it's their money, they should have that opportunity. Now, to claim the money, you've got to be able to describe what the shirt looks like and also the denomination of bills that the $2,000 is in. And if it's unclaimed after 90 days, the money can go to the city or Larry can claim it himself. News reports didn't talk about what happened to the shirt. Now, the reason I share this story is that the situations and circumstances that God gives us, I think sometimes are a lot like a Goodwill shirt. God's purpose in giving us a shirt of maybe difficulty or a shirt of pain is not that it fits or doesn't fit, but it's about those blessings that are in the pocket. The shirt that God gives us may not be anything like what we want on a human level. That shirt may not fit in with our plans. That shirt doesn't match my current wardrobe. It doesn't match my needs. That shirt doesn't suit my preferences. I would have never picked that color. I don't look good in that color. We may see the shirt or what God is allowing us to go through, we might see it as a mistake or a waste. But God always intends a far greater kingdom blessing. God always puts something in the pocket of that shirt. There's always blessings there. Just forget about whether it fits or not. Look for the blessings that are there. And the reason I say all of this is because it's very humbling when we recognize where we fit into the grand scheme of life and the grand scheme of the world. I'm a very important guy in some ways, but in some ways I'm just another blip on the map. God, though, has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for all of our lives. And that's why God is the source of everything in our life. God is always the source. Now, the third letter that we have, number three, is U. Understand God's principles. Now, obviously, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, and we're kind of seeing this today, tithing is a principle of God. Tithing is something that God wants us to do, but a lot of times people that claim Jesus Christ and they follow him, they don't really tithe. And why do we not do this? I want to give us three reasons why people don't tend to give a little more to God. First of all, number one, people don't think they can give and meet their own needs. That's usually the number one reasons why people don't give like they should. Most of the time when we start thinking about resources and finances, you know, I'm not sure I can give and still take care of my family, or I can't give, I'm not going to be able to make the budget, or, you know, I just have needs I want met. Another reason that people don't tithe, number two, is that people don't know how to give. That's one of the reasons why we have tithing-type sermons. They don't really understand what it means to give to God, why God wants us to, what God does with that, all of those kinds of things. And then the third reason, number three, is that people don't plan to give. People don't plan to give. Tithing really needs to be a part of our budget. And some of you might be saying, hey, what's a budget? And budgeting is just basically a plan for how you handle your money. And because of a lack of planning or a lack of budgeting, you may know some people out there that are just kind of always in a state of financial emergency. And if you're somebody who needs some help in planning financially, maybe you always seem to be in debt, or you know, we just never seem to have not have enough money to pay the bills when they're due, I would encourage you to maybe go to a personal finance seminar. I can give you tons of books on the subject. But budgeting would be a great help to you. And the reason we go through this is the U and the TRUST acronym there, the U is understanding God's principles. Tithing, stewardship, this is a principle of God. The question is, what are some of God's principles when it comes to stewardship? And if there's principles, what are they? And how can following these principles when it comes to giving, how can these principles maybe help us overcome these three reasons maybe why we don't give to God like we should? Well, I've got 10 godly principles that I want to share in that deal with stewardship. And so today, as we finish up the sermon, we only have time to examine the first five of these principles, excuse me. that deal with stewardship. So we're going to do five today. We'll do the remaining five next week, and we'll also do the ST and the TRUST acronym. We'll go through that as well. In examining these principles, I want us to see how these godly stewardship principles, how they can affect the way we live and really affect the way that we give back to God. And in seeing the effect they have on us, we can see why it's so important that we understand them and that we not only know what they are, but we actually try to live by them. Now, the first principle that God wants us to understand when it comes to stewardship principle number one is the who's in charge principle. The who's in charge principle. Psalm 24:1. Psalm 24:1, David says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." Remember, God is the owner, we're the manager. We talked about that concept last week. And I think this verse kind of reiterates that concept. The who's in charge principle really challenges us with the simple question of who's going to run my life, who's in charge of my life. And I think that Psalm 24:1 makes it very clear, God is in charge. Now, the second stewardship principle that God wants us to understand, number two, is the give and grow principle. The give and grow principle. Practicing godly stewardship produces growth in our lives. A quote from Dr. Timothy Johnson, who says this. He says, "Some say, dedicate the heart and the money will follow, but Jesus put it the other way around. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is dedicated, your heart will be dedicated. If it's not, your heart's not going to be. It simply won't. It's just that simple, end quote. So how does practicing good stewardship enable us to grow? Well, it increases our faith. Because when you give to God in any capacity, you got to trust God. When you give to God, you got to trust that you're put in a position where you actively have to use your faith. And being good stewards makes us spiritually sensitive, because when we're focused on trying to obey God and trust God and we're going to give to God, it's a lot easier to hear God when he's trying to talk to us. We get a lot more spiritually sensitive. And being good stewards helps us become fruitful for God's kingdom. We are doing things and we're participating in things that are going to produce fruit in God's kingdom. We're producing an eternal treasure that's not going to fade away. And as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we grow in our service to him, we receive blessings from God, and we become a blessing to others. We're always making a lasting contribution. That's the give and grow principle. The third stewardship principle that God wants us to understand, number three, is the do it now principle. The do it now principle. If you remember from last week's message, stewardship always deals with your present resources. It's what you have right now, not what you think you're going to have, or if you win the lottery or whatever. What do you have right now? Samuel Johnson says this, and I quote, he says, "The person who waits to do a great deal of good all at once, that person will never do anything," end quote. This principle revolves around procrastination. How many people in here are just chronic procrastinators? I have certain people in my family. One of them is my son, Grant. Whatever the last minute is to get it possibly done, that's what he'll do. It drives me crazy. But we like to procrastinate. And the question is, how long are you going to wait to find out what your spiritual gifts are? How long are you going to wait to use those gifts? How long are you going to wait with all the resources that God has given you before you do something with what you've got right now? Because in our humanness, especially when it comes to the church, when it comes to the Lord, we always have a tendency to say, well, you know, sometime next year, that's when I'm going to do something. Next year, I'm going to get a raise, or next year, we're going to have some more bills paid off, or next year, I'm going to have a lot more time. Somewhere down the road, I'm going to start doing some things with some of the stuff God's blessed me with. I'm going to live for Jesus a little more. I'm going to start serving, but right now, I'm too busy. Right now, the cash flow is not good enough. Right now, it's just not a good time for me. Come and see me in a year. And the do it now principle reminds us that it's the present resources, that's what God cares about. And if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, if you don't know or see the gifts that God has blessed you with, I mean, can you imagine standing before God, the one that gave you those gifts, and God is looking at you and he wants to know, hey, what'd you do with this? And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I had that. Are you sure? I don't think so, God. What gifts has God blessed you with in this life? What gifts do you have right now, and what are you doing with them? And I'm asking this because God is going to ask this question of all of us. We're going to be held accountable for these things. And another reason I share this principle with us is because sometimes I get really tired of Christians that love to have all these spiritual cliches about talking about how God is going to provide. And I say this because as a pastor, I've challenged people. You know, they've come and they've talked to me one-on-one at my office, and you know, I've challenged them, you know, give to the Lord right now. Serve the Lord right now. You can do this. I think you're having a door open for you to do this. And they say, you know, Pastor, I can't right now, but you know, God will provide. God will provide, and then I'll have the opportunity. And I want to say, you know what? God is giving you the opportunity now. He's already provided now. You've got to do the T in our trust acrostic. You got to take an inventory. You got to see what you have right here. God has given you something to use. You're not doing anything with it. And the do it now principle reminds us that the issue in our lives right now is not the question of God's provision. God has already provided. The issue is for you and I to learn to manage the resources that he's given and to be good stewards of them and to pass them on to God. We need to be doing that right now. Now, the fourth stewardship principle that God wants us to understand, number four, is the I'm in debt principle. The I'm in debt principle. Romans 1, 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul writes, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who also are in Rome. Paul is sharing these words with the Roman Jews, Roman Christians, Roman pagans. And Paul is saying that I'm talking to you about Jesus because I kind of feel like I'm under obligation to do that. I'm under obligation to share. And what was Paul's obligation? Well, Paul's obligation came about because of his experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul was blinded for a while after Jesus got a hold of him and after Jesus became his Savior. His whole life was consumed with just spreading the gospel. His life was consumed with spreading the gospel because Paul realized everything that Jesus provided him. He realized that he was in debt to Christ. And please understand, this is a debt that Paul could never really repay. And God's not saying you got to repay part of it for, you know, your faith to count. It's not what it's about. Paul just wanted to do his part. Paul wanted to give back to God what he could. And the moment that we're born, we're in debt to God. I mean, God starts giving to us and blessing us the minute we start breathing air. And the more and more blessings we get from God, he gives them to us as we get older. Albert Schweitzer said it this way. He said, whatever you have received more than others in health, talents, ability, success, in a pleasant childhood, in the harmonious conditions of home life, all this you must not take yourself as a matter of course. In gratitude for your good fortune, you must render some sacrifice of your own life for the life of another. End quote. I think that's kind of what Paul is saying in these verses. Paul understands that, you know what, I'm a debtor to God. And our indebtedness to God is twofold. As I already stated, we're indebted, number one, to God. All the blessings that God has given to you, health, life, everything that we have makes us in a small way indebted to God. And I think that's a process that we kind of want to understand. But we're also indebted, number two, to the previous generation. The generation of people that have gone on before us, that generation has given us many of the blessings that we have as Americans, many of the blessings that we experience in life. You can make an argument they've kind of been handed down in some ways. And the blessing this church is, for example, we can thank a lot of people that came before us. We can thank them that we have this church and this church experience that we enjoy and fellowship in. When I became the pastor here in 1996, I mean, this thing was already up and running when I got here, and it had been up and running a long time before I ever showed up, before I was even thought of, and it has been built and developed by lots of pastors before me. The pastor that was here before me, Missy Lamb, very big part of the development of this church. And all I think I've really done in the time I've been here is I've just stood on Missy's shoulders, and I've kind of built off what she and the other pastors started and what they've given, because they said, hey, we just want to serve and love our community. And pastors came before me, they sowed seeds, that took part in your life, in your ancestors' lives. And many of these pastors and leaders, they paid a price to be in ministry and to serve God in this community. And I say this because we don't want to forget those that came before us. I'm glad that Deanna brought up your parents, because we are enjoying the blessings today of their sacrifices, their efforts. And I share this because I think we live in a world sometimes that you know, people sometimes just think they deserve a handout. They think that everything kind of exists for their own benefit in some capacity, and they get it because they've got a pulse. But when you think about it, everything we have is a gift from God. Or in some ways, it's a gift from God that he gave to somebody else that they kind of passed on to us. And we want to leave a legacy for those that come after us. And I think it's our job to take those gifts that God blessed us with, that God gave to others before us, and turn around and reproduce and multiply and develop those gifts to glorify God and to help our fellow man, the people that are kind of coming after us. This is the I'm in debt principle. And then finally, our fifth stewardship principle that God wants us to understand, number five, is the fountain of youth principle. The fountain of youth principle. You ever thought about the fact that you can kind of live forever, or a part of you can live forever, through your giving? There's a pastor by the name of Douglas Lawson that said, we exist temporarily through what we take, but we live forever through what we give. Jesus said that you know, what we keep, we lose. What we lose, we keep. I think we've all heard the expression, can't take it with you. What we give today, it may live on for many generations. The people that gave to this church building that we're in right now is a very good example of that. So today we begin doing the trust test. We've looked at the first three letters of the acrostic, got to the U, we had to kind of stop, we examined five stewardship principles, we'll finish up the five next week, the remaining five. I want to end today with a story from, quote exactly, from former President Calvin Coolidge. I don't think anybody in here was alive when he was president. But he said, no enterprise can exist for itself alone. It ministers to some great need. It performs some great service, not for itself, but for others. Or failing therein, it ceases to be profitable and ceases to exist. End quote. I want to end with this quote today because we don't exist for ourselves. We exist to serve. We exist to serve God and serve others. We exist to love God and love others. And one of the ways that we do that is by giving, by tithing, by being good stewards with all that God has blessed us with. And being a good steward ultimately means, do I trust God? Am I trusting God? And hopefully in our examination of trust, your trust in God today has grown. I'm hoping that maybe it's been challenged a little bit, challenged to do things to grow that trust and to strengthen that trust as we live our lives. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of stewardship. And Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. You are a God that reveals yourself to us every day in a myriad of ways. You are a God that gives us little reminders and wake-up calls sometimes that everything we have is from you. And we don't want to forget that. You are a God that has blessed us immensely. You are a God that has blessed us so we can go bless others. But sometimes, Father, we hold back. We can be greedy, we can be selfish. Sometimes we just worry about things. We get kind of hung up on stuff and we forget where it came from. Sometimes, Father, we just want to be comfortable. We don't want to be bothered. And Father, I would ask that in the weeks ahead that you would open up our minds and spirits to the reality of where our faith really lies. I ask that we would do the parts of the trust test, that we would wrestle with the principles given today, that we'd really take a hard, truthful look at where our faith really lies in things and what it really looks like lived out. And Father, you're going to make corrections. You're going to probably convict a little bit. You're going to bless us too, and you're going to praise us. And Father, may we have our eyes open to the truth about things. And may we see this happen in a loving way. May we be motivated to make the changes that you want us to make, whatever they might be. Father, we thank you that you are a God that is reciprocal. And I thank you, Lord, you're reciprocal in a way that we can't control. I think if you just gave us whatever we wanted, however we wanted it, we wouldn't be good children, that's for sure. And Father, so much of the time you bless us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And Father, help us to see those blessings, to rest in them, to appreciate them. And Father, let us be people that trust you, people that you know you can trust back. Father, we thank you for your many gifts. We thank you for your provision and your goodness. Amen. This time, would you stand with me and join in our closing prayer, which is printed on the screen. Would you pray with me? I go nowhere by accident.